Good evening or good morning, depending where you're from. And welcome to another quarantine edition of Taboo Talks. And we hope right now you are all listening to this from the comfort of your own home, because you shouldn't be going anywhere because there's a fucking pandemic going on right now. So if you're listening to this, you better be at home. Okay, good. As always, I am Edward Mannix, and I am accompanied by the lovely, intelligent, and beautiful partners of mine.
Nighttime Natasha.
And Winter Holloway.
And we are kind of following up a little bit on the theme we talked about the last episode last week, which is about mistresses and dominatrix. If you haven't heard that one, you really should. We kind of talked that Winter here is delving into the world of pro dominatrix because she's pretty good at it, it turns out. And, you know, during that, we've ventured out into some new projects, one of which I'll let Winter talk about. It's a couple of new things you're trying.
Yeah, so we're kind of delving into additional technologies, everything, you know, that people are familiar with, and I'm happy to say that I finally started a Snapchat earlier this week.
And will you tell us what that Snapchat name is, Winter, because I'm sure all of our guests would love to see your sexy little body.
Yes, that Snapchat is Winter Holloway. So if you have not followed, then go ahead and search and you'll be able to see some daily stories from me. And I would love to say hello and message you there. For those of you who have already followed and are listening to this podcast, thank you so much. You're very much appreciated. And I've enjoyed kind of messaging and seeing pictures from you as well. So,
and maybe we'll do like some free giveaway or something sometime. We'll listen to the podcast and send you a shout out and maybe get a little something from Winter.
Yeah.
That could be pretty fun. Well, cool. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm definitely a follower. You know, I know obviously I photograph you a lot, but I actually follow you also. So it's kind of cool seeing it from that voyeuristic point of view. And it's already kind of cool to see that you already have a pretty good following already. I think, what, you had almost like 300 in just a few hours, so.
Yeah, which, I mean, thanks, guys. It's been a really big ego boost for me. And I will say, as far as the experience of having a Snapchat community is concerned, I'm very much impressed with how everybody is respectful for the most part. We've only had a few who have disrespected the rules of Snapchat, no screenshots. So, mm-hmm. But, you know, overall, everybody's been really nice, you know, enjoying the show. So thank you.
Yeah, a lot of compliments. So now, like what's the jump off point, though? So you have this Snapchat, which currently it's free. You know, you get some free tantalizing stories. You give them a little tease, little peek into your life, so to speak. But where does it go from there?
Well, we've been talking about how we're going to start a premium Snapchat as well. We're still just kind of figuring out the subscription matters of it. So, you know, technical details. But that'll be the next step to kind of, you know, give our community a little bit more, you know, to show things that are usually covered by clothing, you know, artfully placed.
Yeah. So it turns out, though, it is actually work. You know, it's actually something to keep up with, and it actually takes some time. Well, I mean, I guess for you, because you actually plan stuff out.
Right.
Right, okay.
Which, you know, we're doing this very consciously because we don't just want to throw out just random shit. Mm-hmm. So Edward has been kind of the researcher following different Snapchat.
Yeah, poor me.
Poor you.
Yeah, following a bunch of women on Snapchat, bearing their all. Yeah, gosh, it's such a hard life I have.
But just kind of to see what other, you know, people are doing. And sometimes it's just, you know, it feels like there's not a lot of thought. And
yeah, it's just like, here's my tits. Okay, yeah. I've seen hundreds of those.
Again, you poor thing.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, there's thought.
There's thought, and yeah, it does count as work, you know, and that's the point of a premium Snapchat, because, you know, while we would like to live in a world where things are, you know, free, still got to pay the bills, so
student loans.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So you guys would be helping me.
Now, speaking of helping, Natasha, you actually helped out a little last night. It turns out you're going to be into this too, because you have actually made a few guest appearances on Winter's Snapchat, and a bunch of her cyber suitors have actually requested that you do this as well. So what's your thought process there, and how have you helped out Winter so far?
Well, we took a lot of pictures last night.
And, oh, yeah? What kind? Do tell. Tell us.
Some very compromising, titillating photos.
I'd say.
Thanks for everyone who suggested that I, too, should have one. And that's in the works.
Now, you actually have some experience with this, because way back in the day when you and I were like very, very poor out of college, you did some cam work.
I did.
And actually, I will say this, Natasha has an interesting story of posting a adult video on a very early YouPorn-like site back in the day. What happened with that?
I was kicked out.
Because, and why were you kicked out of this site?
The site was only for amateurs, no professionals allowed. But the thing was, is that we were amateurs. We didn't know what we were doing.
Natasha's video back in the day got over a million hits so fast that this porn site, this amateur video cam porn site, to give you context, I think it was even before like 720. It was probably like a 420 video. It was like so low PPI and all that stuff. But you still look pretty fucking hot. But this amateur website actually sent an email to us and said that they were removing her from the site because she was too professional and it was obvious that she had done this before. So basically kind of calling like a porn slut. But,
I was a porn star and I wasn't even getting paid for it.
I know. We didn't even get a chance to start getting paid yet because they deleted her videos and kicked her off the site. That was hilarious. But then you also kind of jumped on the whole camming thing on when it was still kind of just new and taking off of it.
That was going into it very blindly, and that was also challenging because still working a full-time job
and school, I think,
and
too.
School,
I think
we're working on a master's degree.
That's right.
So it was hard work. I applaud the girls that did it on a full-time basis, because that shit is not easy.
Do you remember the phone sex you would charge?
Yes.
Guys? They paid.
You guys should talk about your phone sex.
Yeah.
That's right.
You actually, they would pay you on PayPal first.
Yes.
And so they actually had like 20 minutes or a 25 minute session with Natasha, but they had to pay on PayPal first. And man, so many people are so fucking cheap. Oh, can I get like 5 minutes free? What the hell? No, you can't get 5 minutes free. It's not some collect call. But I remember there was a few funny people. There was that one guy that tried to persuade you to run off with him,
yes,
so you wouldn't have to
in the Middle East
show your breasts to the world, he said, or
yes,
something. You remember that?
Stop showing my breast and my pussy to the world, even though he was the one enjoying it.
That's right.
And paying for it.
But if you ran away with him, you
yes
would never have to do that again.
Yes, because he was so rich. And if I ran away with him, I wouldn't have to do that.
Oh, man, you missed out.
I've missed golden, out. Golden I missed the boat on
right
that
there
one.
That's very true. I remember back before the internet was, I guess, used for all that. I'm not trying to age myself here, but I remember dial-up, you know? But when I was in college, and I was very poor in college, I somehow stumbled upon an earlier version of, like, backdoor.com and Craigslist, you know, where you find, like, adult jobs, and it said looking for a phone sex operator. And I was like, fuck it. I'm in theater. I've got a pretty good voice. Yeah, sure, let me sign up. And I remember I actually made some pretty good money on that, but it was a to-do list too, because you had to buy a separate phone, you had to have it connected to a different phone jack than your own, you had to dial up, and every now and then you would of course lose connection, everything else too. And I just remember I had a lot of desperate housewives calling at the weirdest hours. It'd be like 3 a.m. and they would call and whisper, "My husband's asleep right now. I want you to ravage me." Oh yes, I can't wait to ravage you with my words, you know, as I'm sitting at home playing my PlayStation.
you take what you can get, apparently.
Oh yeah, no kidding. But like, I was like my first, I guess, foray into that, and I think I did a pretty good job. I made some good money between that, and I also worked for the psychic hotline as well.
Oh, Miss Cleo?
Miss Cleo, if anybody remembers. If you don't know who I'm talking about, you really should look it up. Like, I'm not bullshitting you. Go on Google, type in Miss Cleo psychic, and find some videos. That woman was my boss. God rest her soul. She's dead now.
Call me now.
Call me now. I am Miss Cleo, and I will tell your future. I am not doing cultural appropriation. No. She was turns out was a fake too.
Yeah, that wasn't her real accent.
But that's how Natasha and I got by back in the day, and with some early adult entertainment. So,
videos I think are still circulating somewhere out there, or pictures.
Yeah, there was some sites. I mean,
you had a cute cat mask.
You did. I've tried to look for them recently, but I can't find them anywhere. So we have to start all over again. That's okay. That's okay. Projects to do. So it's kind of cool to see how things have changed and evolved, now, like, winter is all over the place. Oh, also, you have a Pornhub channel, don't you?
I do. You do. Yeah. And we currently have a webcam ordered, but
yeah, there's a webcam on the way that was somehow stuck in China for a while. All things considered, I
all
understand.
Things considered.
Then it somehow got stuck in LA at transit or something like that. So it should be here this week. And then, yeah, you're going to get your little cam stuff rolling, which is pretty kinky and pretty fun.
Yeah. I mean, one thing about setting up the Snapchat in particular, it's kind of, more of a, like, being on FET and everything, obviously there's that in existence.
Oh, you should talk about that. Well. I don't think everybody knows that you're on FetLife as well.
Yes, I am on FetLife.
I guess you just find your Winter Holloway everywhere. Pornhub Winter Holloway, FetLife Winter Holloway.
Yeah, thankfully that username isn't popular.
It's unique to you.
Yeah.
yeah, trademark that shit.
Yeah, but the Snapchat is a more of a unique experience for myself, just because it's more of a daily interaction, which is, pretty cool, like, to be able to interact with more people like that and get, used to more of the dialogue on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
And I think that'll definitely help for the camming, in particular, because that's more in the moment.
Right. I mean, it certainly makes you keep up with yourself, that's for sure. I mean, especially being in quarantine, it's easy not to do anything.
That's an excellent point, because prior to setting this up, I think that like working from home and everything, you have a tendency to just be in your pajamas all day and not put on makeup, it's, and granted, the skin cleansing has been great, like not, doing that, but also putting on makeup and getting yourself dolled up is a frame of mind. And so that's also been helpful, just from a psychological point of view.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. That makes sense. And then I know, I guess you two will be making some videos together as well, and maybe seeing about inviting some other friends at some point. So that'll be pretty, pretty fun. I get to reap the benefits of all these things, so, which I love. It's a lot of eye candy for me, so it's totally okay for y'all to be jealous.
Yeah. So when people ask how are you doing on the quarantine, you're just like, oh, it's awful.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No. People are like, oh my god, and it must be really hard for you, just stuck at home. Oh. Yeah, it's so difficult. I am stuck home with two beautiful women. Yes, my life is so hard right now. The people who do know me, though, and who do know about our lives together, they just messaged me kind of pissed. Well, yeah, you lucky fucker. You're at least home with two beautiful women. My wife hasn't touched me in 3 months.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. We can do couples counseling. We can't do therapy, but we can do, communication counseling. That's for sure. All that is like really, really fun stuff, really cool stuff. I think it's really neat that you are diving more into different avenues, both of you, that there's definitely, I think, a lot of ways to be in the lifestyle and make even a business out of the lifestyle for people who want it. And there's always people out there who see the value in that because they want to have the experience, and sometimes I guess it's not even so much even a sexual experience. They just want to experience something unique and different, so it kind of provides that outlet. Speaking of different and providing an outlet, Winter has done some researching and has some interesting topics for us tonight. So why don't you go ahead and just kind of give us a little bit of an intro, let us know what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, so, being as I want to get into that specific lifestyle that we talked about, I was kind of trying to do research and, find out what other dominatrix have done and what I don't know, just what's out there.
Right. Because there's so much out there.
There is so much out there. And that's another thing with the Snapchat is I am getting a better feel for what people are into. And
yeah, because you do get a lot of, I guess you could say they're fetish requests, but they're just more like, here's what I'm into, and they're wanting you to explore that with them or to talk to you, you know, with you about that stuff.
Right, and kind of, you know, saying, oh, could we see, you know, some of this? Like, let's see some heels or, you know.
Yeah, well, heels are always welcome. So, I am with those guys right there.
But it's cool, you know, to get a broader sense of all different types of people and, you know, no judgments or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so kind of starting off, one of the things I found was an interview on thedailybeast.com.
That's our first shout out.
Yeah.
And no, we're not getting residuals.
but this interviewer did a Skype call with a former dominatrix, Dr. Grinchy, who went by as Mistress Carla. Yeah. But she opened Florida's first sex dungeon in her home.
Pioneer.
In 1980. And she initially got started in it because a friend of hers needed help and wanted her to kind of tag team. And so she did it, you know, for the money. Yeah. And then she's like, I understand why people are turned off by this because, you know, my first session was going into, I walked into an empty hotel room and I thought nobody was there, so I was going to leave. But then I heard whimpering from the closet.
Oh my, wait, what?
And
oh my God.
So that was her first session. So then she opened the closet and this guy was in there with a heel in his mouth, like women's shoes, heels, and then a heel sticking out of his ass.
So the heel part. Like the heel part was up his ass.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not that much. It's not like that.
Well, how do you know it wasn't like a 10-inch stiletto or something? You know, I've seen it's that.
Yeah,
shit.
They didn't describe.
But still, like, you know, I mean, hey, again, to each his own. Okay, no, that would actually might kind of fucking creep me out. I come home and I see some chick in my closet whimpering. I'd be like, okay, fuck it, I didn't do anything. There's no proof.
So that's, you know, he was into like feet worship and stuff like that.
But also, I guess, just the humiliation because he was there naked in the closet.
Yeah, or, interesting. Okay. Interesting way he went about it, though. You know, to not tell her beforehand.
Right. I thought that these would be things that you would bring up before the session of
this. Well, to prepare you. That way you're not shocked by it, right?
Exactly. Especially when you're the one coming in and the room's empty, and then you hear a cry in the closet.
Yeah, that would creep me out. I think too. And like that was her first time.
Yeah, that was her first time, and maybe it has to do with the fact that she wasn't professional, and so she didn't have direct contact with the clients.
She was doing it through her friend.
Yeah, so maybe that had to do something with it, but
that's still a little odd. I mean, I don't know. I mean, how would you have reacted with that? It's your first time. Then
I think that would have scared me a little bit. not. I mean. Had I gotten a heads up of what to expect, I would have been like, okay, I can play.
You're prepared. You're mentally
prepared.
Okay,
I'm mentally
prepared. You're prepared for the role.
Yes. I don't know what happened in the time between I got there of what, why this person's in the closet and crying.
And with a heel up his ass.
I don't think that I would want to open the door.
That's true. And you probably wouldn't want to wear the heels either. Unless he wanted to. Who knows? So, okay, go on.
So anyway, so that was her first experience. But she also studied psychology and had a PhD. Eventually, it became more fine-tuned to be a sex.
Now, was she already a PhD? Was she already a doctor in psychology during this time?
I believe she was already studying psychology. And so
wow,
I think,
okay, what a case study. Yeah, wow.
Yeah. So this kind of also framed, you know, from an educational point of view, what she would later explore herself. And so after that, she just kind of delved into it and kept doing it. And she said, growing up, she was a typical suburban kid from an upper middle class family. So
church going?
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
Naturally.
Hence, we all are.
I know. Well, we were.
We're.
All grew up in a very, very devout and very just, how do you say? I'm missing the word here, you know, very rigid, very
staunch.
Yes.
Yeah. So she went further into it and, you know, did sessions for, males, females, couples, and obviously, you know, money was exchanged and stuff, but there was no sex.
Right.
That's the hard rule because,
well, within you're a prostitute.
Right.
You're not a domination.
That's defined as prostitution.
Right. Exactly.
So there's no actual sex happening. Like, she doesn't.
Is that the right word? Is it sex worker now?
It's sex worker.
No, yeah. Sex worker. Okay.
So she doesn't take off her clothes, and she just, you know, does what they. The roundabout how she described it was she called it a sensory experience.
Oh.
So it's not.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is true. It is. And so, anyway, this is Florida. It's the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, her house actually gets raided by local police.
How? But how did they find out? Somebody snitched. Somebody got pissed. It was some fucking neighbor, some nosy Karen, you know, who just decided to snitch on her.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, kudos for her for being, like, comfortable running it outside of her home. You know, that's...
Yeah. That's a safety issue right there. I wouldn't have done that, but I mean, hey, man, pray for her.
Yeah, no, she said later on she feels like it was pretty much local police, like, what's the word?
A sting operation? Or
yeah, it was just like they had an agenda to run her out of town.
Well, because it was the 80s, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
The 80s was all about, I mean, Reagan and the 80s, you know, was all... The religious right movement, the moral majority is what it was called back in the 80s. I was a child of the 80s, so, but remembering it, looking back, it was all just very, very religious, and it was just absolutely nuts. Like, everything was just, you know, at a bad time.
Remember
at that time.
Everything was also a satanic cult.
Yes. Remember? Yes.
Satanic spirit.
Oh, my God. Yes. I do remember.
Thanks, Reagan.
In the 80s. Yeah, no, fuck Reagan.
So anyway, she was charged with 5 counts of felony prostitution.
Damn.
And faced up to 25 years in prison and was portrayed as a sadistic sexual deviant by local media.
Even though they were consensual adults, right? Yes. And to put it in context, fucking rapists don't get that long in prison. Some of them don't even go to fucking prison, period, you know?
Yeah.
But these were consenting adults. Who did not have sex, yet she is considered a prostitute. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, obviously, you know, she got her lawyer and everything, but this thing went on in court for 3 years.
That's insane. That is insane.
And thankfully, she had she had documentation for all of her, you know, clients that she would refer back to for her study because of her PhD and stuff. And so that definitely helped because so that she could say, no, this was for research.
Okay, well, I'm getting a PhD, so I can just somehow do that. Okay, we're good.
So after 3 years of them essentially fighting over what the definition of sex was, because
Bill Clinton flashback.
So that was, and then after all of that, and, you know, after arguing that all the research and everything, she still got 90 days in prison.
That's fucking ridiculous.
And then, like, I believe it was, like, a certain amount of time probation as well.
That she was on probation?
Yeah.
So 90 days in prison, plus probably like a year or 2 or 3 years of probation. Ridiculous.
Yeah, all for being a dominatrix. And then she mentioned how, you know, today it's very different how...
Well, it's so out in the open now.
Yeah, it's so out in the open. Like, pop stars are, you know, dressing in leather, and you know there's a lot of nods to dominatrixes because it's in the end it's power, like it's female power, you know, in a way.
The thing is, like, people who went to, for example, a strip club in Miami probably saw more skin and touched more than they did with this woman who was a professional at it, you know
she was more providing therapy.
Right, exactly. Even if she's not even calling it, you know, a therapist or being a therapist at the time, like, yeah, she was providing some type of outlet for people while maintaining, you know, a very, I'd say, you know, kind of wall between the two, like, you're not going to touch me, you're not going to do this.
Yeah, there's a lot of boundaries placed.
Right, exactly. And I guess, but the problem was what? Were the clients touching themselves or what? I mean, it's the only thing I could think of, you know?
I think there was some masturbation.
Oh, you know, God forbid. I mean, Jesus Christ, Pee Wee Herman did it in a movie theater once.
Yeah, look what happened to him, poor guy.
That's true. And it was an adult theater, the top of it. It's like, come on, you know what happens there. It's why you shouldn't go there with a blue light, you know? Okay, so is she still in the scene now? I mean, is she still...
She
retired? I'd love to get her on the show.
Yeah, I think she's retired, but she still definitely has all of the like clothing, and you know, like she still has her dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's just retired and does like a sex therapy.
Oh, wow, interesting. And I guess the whole dungeon aspect, you know, is something that most pro doms look for, you know, a place to actually have these sessions. You know, probably not at their home, but a local, you know, dungeon that might be available in the city if they have one. Most bigger cities do at least,
right. or like a lot of dominatrixes are doing it virtually.
Yes, virtually right now. Yes, exactly. See, everybody's paying attention to staying at home. even more reasons, I guess, to do this now. Everybody needs a little bit of an outlet considering what's going on at the moment. So what other interesting things did she have to say, or interesting things she talked about?
Well, kind of backtracking to some other experiences that she did with clients. I'm scrolling through the article at the moment because she was talking about some requests that she received. And she said, for example, you know, because every dominatrix has their specific set of boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's different. Like, for instance, one of her hard no's was needles.
And as in sticking them in some, you or using them, period?
I think just using them in general, but the specific request that she received was he wanted her to thread a needle through his earlobes and nose down to his nipples and what? Scrotum.
No.
Fuck!
And she
That's
just,
a long...
It is.
Wow.
Oof.
And she just said, I can't stomach needles, so...
You're just hearing that. Ow! Yeah. Now I'm just curious, like, how that guy came up with that.
Yeah.
Like where is the turn?
Or when he's experienced that he wanted that again.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because that's very specific.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's a whole body map right there. Start here, end up there, and end up at my scrotum. Wow. Ooh. Ah, fuck. Hey, good for him. But not for me.
Yeah, no, there's no shame. None.
I mean, maybe a little.
Yeah. No, it's just that's not my cup of tea either. Giving it or experiencing that. No.
No, I can't stand needles or sharp objects, shit like that. No way.
Yeah. I mean, in contrast, she said another client that she had requested was from London and made arrangements to fly her to visit him for a session. So she flew first class, stayed in a luxury penthouse.
Remember, you had a book for two extra people when you did that. Okay, Winter.
Huh. I don't know that people would want to.
Too bad then.
It's a package deal.
Well, they can get both of you at the same time. I just get to go run around London again.
And she was even given money for shopping along with her session payment. So,
wow.
So, you know, the main thing is these sessions can really differ, you know, depending on what people actually want to do.
Right, right.
And how much they want to.
See, now, in London, it's different, obviously, overseas, because you might be able to do more overseas than you are able to at certain places. So, interesting. But, yeah, obviously, he was serious. To fly her all the way from the States to London for that.
I also wonder, did she become like a word of mouth referral?
Yeah, right. Okay, there's no internet. There's no internet. You know, yeah. What are you doing? Like sending letters, correspondence? Like how do you hear about that?
Yeah, you know, they did, like when I was looking through stuff, they did talk about how people, it would be a lot of word of mouth and they would send actual letters that they would handwrite. And how they're saying, like, now, you know, obviously everything's done through email and
right.
And it's more like there's a lot more digital forums going on. But yeah, physical letters and word of mouth.
Wow. No, hey.
It's the reason why my dad won't get a website.
Because all the business transactions are just the word of mouth. Wow.
But yeah, and then kind of spinning off that. I found another article that had this one dominatrix with the permission of some of her clients. She actually published the letters that they would send her before they went into a session, kind of requesting
her requirement.
Like, yeah, she required them to write her to describe what exactly they wanted from her, like what turns you on, like what exactly do you want to have happen in this session, which is smart because, you know, they want to have a good experience too, and you don't want the dominatrix to be guessing exactly what, you know, you should do to them, because if you're paying for an hour and a half, that's a long time to improvise,
right,
if you don't know. So
yeah, the last thing we do is just start, you know, belting out tunes from Hampton, because you know what else to do. But I guess it would help the dominatrix as well, because then she knows how to prepare for the scene, like how to be in character for that.
Right. And you talk about limits and what, you know, what the expectations are from both parties. And then also, you know, kind of sets, is an introduction, so you can kind of get to know them a little bit better, as opposed to, hello, I'm so-and-so and I'm going to beat the shit out of you. You know? So anyway, she still had all these letters because like the other dominatrix, she also started with handwritten letters, but eventually moved to email, but she still saved everything. And so she asked him if it would be okay if she published them into a book, which she did. And then they highlighted a few in this article. So I'm going to read you guys a couple letters and, you know, so we can just chat about them.
Yeah, go for it. You know, I'm all ears. Like, I'm totally curious about this myself.
Okay, so this first one. This mistress goes by Mistress Zena. Dear Mistress Zena, thank you for allowing me to contact you. I've been through your website, and whilst I know you request that I contact you a day in advance, I would like to beg in advance for the possibility of a session with you on Sunday, 20 December at around 4 p.m. I'm a 34-year-old male, fit and in good physical condition. I would be interested in a tough and demanding BDSM session. I do have experience, but it's not regular as I am in a normal relationship, but I do manage a session once or twice a year, and I started at around 22 years old. I've always found my previous experiences to be interesting, some tougher than others, but never would I say that I've been pushed and stretched to my limits. I'm looking for a beautiful but extremely demanding mistress to push me further. I would request a classical mistress, slave relationship, polite but firm. I would expect you to demand respect, obedience, tough punishment as necessary. But I don't want you shouting or screaming at me. I would like you to be charming, wicked, with a sense of humor, and to encourage me and guide me through the session, but never hesitating to push me. As I'm your slave, I would try to submit to your every desire, but would expect this to include foot worship, tough whipping, not extreme, but should be tough. It should be painful, but will still make me cry out. Cat o' nine tail, cane, paddles on all parts of the body, back, buttocks, waist, inner thighs, genitals, on soles of feet, CBT, electro, nipple weights, clips, clamps, rack, though I've never experienced this. Others you can see as necessary. Marking of the body is allowed, but all marks must disappear within 5 days completely. I do have a strict no-go area, such as no marks on the face, no restrictions on breathing, no blood, no cuts, no needles. So, wow. So this guy obviously has dabbled in it before.
Yeah, no shit. He has a whole checklist, you know?
Very specific.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Exactly what he wants.
And I guess whatever he's not. Now, again, like, I think it's interesting how he did point out that he only does this once or twice a year. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to go ahead and throw out there, it's probably because when he does some business travel or something, he gets away from his normal relationship.
Relationship.
Meaning it's not enough for him, or he's not getting what he needs out of it, so he has to go find, in a sense, from a domination. Again, he's not asking for sex. No. He's just asking for some type of physicality, right, that he's not getting in his current relationship or life in general.
And it's interesting because when he points out normal relationship, this is obviously not something he can bring up to his significant other, whether it's a you know, partner or spouse. You know, it always makes me wonder, like, how close do people really think that they...
Well, yeah, how well do we know the people we think we know, you know? Right, right. And it's kind of... yeah, it is kind of sad for the relationship, but you can't voice these things. Because then again, it's like, are you really being honest with your partner? Not that you're cheating, but are you being honest with them that they know the real you, you know? Or are you just giving them this, you know, facsimile of what you think they want you to be like at the time? So that was actually pretty interesting. Now I would ask you then, Winter, like what he was saying, if you got a letter like this, would you be able to provide what he's talking about?
Well, yeah.
Well, not even a doubt of hesitation.
Well, obviously, so I do have some practicing to do, but especially if people are very specific in their ask on what they're looking for.
That's what you need, right? In a yes. sense, you just want people to just tell me A, B, and C.
Yeah, tell me what you want, what mm-hmm. you need, and then we'll be able to have an enjoyable session, you know? Right. And like I said, like I'm still getting into this mm-hmm. and I'm sure there'll be lots to learn along the way, but I've always been a very overachieving kind of person. So
Winter wants to be employee of the month.
I do.
Dominatrix of the month.
We're going to have to make a whole wall just for her, you know, her picture for every month.
But I mean, it's true. Like I like to be good at what I do.
You are so good at what you do. I tell you.
So, you know, no half-assing. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, that's, you know, kudos to you there. But what would be, for example, then, what would be your limits or hard no's?
So, yeah, we've made a list, mm-hmm. Just because I think, yeah, there's no other way to say it. They're just my hard no's. Definitely what a lot of dominatrix say are hard no's, which is scat, you know, anything full yeah. toilets, which we talked about. Definitely no needles, cutting, blood, anything that leaves any kind of permanent damage or anything like that.
Okay, now speaking of permanent damage, you were telling Natasha and I as other story that you had read about some guy with his teeth or something. What the fuck was it? Remember she was telling yes. us about that? What was that? Like,
yes. Remember. So that's another.
I mean, that made us both cringe. Like, you didn't even get through the whole story. And I was like, oh, stop.
Yeah. So that's another letter. So I'll go ahead and read that one as well.
Hello. Oh, is this one right here? Okay. Yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump the gun there, but I was like, we just talked about that.
Hello, mistress. I would be honored to worship you in the following way. Again, very specific. Foot worship, boot and shoe cleaning / licking.
Totally into it. Go on.
I have a chair that has had one of the legs
Natasha's shortened. Really shaking her head like, no. I'm sorry. Go on.
So I have a chair that has had one of the legs shortened. I lie down and the shortened leg is placed on my teeth. Mm. Then the mistress sits on the chair. Mm-mm. If I can't stand the chair on my teeth for 5 minutes at a time, I give the mistress extra tribute. I have worshipped several mistresses in this way previously. I will also give extra tribute for any damage to my teeth or gums. Does this interest you?
No. Ow. Damn. Fuck. I had a cavity once or a bad wisdom tooth and I cried like a little baby. No, man.
He said damage to my teeth right, and gums, meaning exactly. This has happened before. Like, and that, okay,
but like, you know that feeling like when there's something like you hear your teeth grind? Like, I know anybody listening to me right now knows exactly what I'm talking about and you're probably cringing. That sound your teeth make when they grind on each other. Mm-hmm. Now imagine a fucking chair, wooden chair leg on your teeth. Wow. And what if she's a big mistress? What if she happens to be, you know, a BBW mistress? True. Oh my God, it's going right through your mouth.
And the thing is, I kind of feel like, and if correct me if I'm wrong, but just where's the responsibility on the dominatrix part to not do something that would potentially hurt or damage mm-hmm. the other person?
I see what you mean. Right. Like they say, oh, it's okay if you do something, then you actually do. Then all of a sudden, yeah. Oh shit, you got a lawsuit on your hands now.
But just I can't imagine inflicting any kind of like damaging pain to somebody. I can understand to a certain degree what they're requesting, but not to where something's going to cause damage. Right. So no matter what, somebody's body weight on a chair, on something so unstable as a person's teeth.
Right. Right. Just, exactly. Ugh. I mean, I've had a female press her high heels on my chest like that, but that was still controlled.
Right.
You know, she had one foot on the solid ground, one foot on me, and just kind of pressed it a bit. That was great. No problems there. But I cannot even fathom doing that on my teeth. Mm-hmm. So I wish I knew this guy to ask him why. What's the kink on this? What's the backstory? Who hurt you? I just want to know.
And your dental bills. I want to know how much you.
Maybe he is a dentist.
Or he has friends that are dentists.
Oh, amazing! Now we're just creating mythologies.
Hence why that one dominatrix who, you know, did her PhD in sex therapy, she would have a ton of information to go off of, because that is very fascinating, you know.
And it's being so specific. Research. So specific.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I can't imagine you doing that, obviously. I don't think you would have said yes to that.
No, just because you're right. It, like, just from a purely legal point of view, I just feel like it's too dangerous. So nothing like that for me.
Would you say that's the craziest one you read? Not crazy. But yeah, well, no, yeah, it's fucking crazy. Is that like the most extreme one you've read?
So far, I'm sure there's more.
Right,
I mean, the one with the needles was pretty.
I know. You know what? That sounds more normal to me next to the teeth sitting one. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So we were talking about hard limits. Sorry, I just got distracted with that story. Hard limits. So we already covered a couple. What you said, no needles, nothing's going to leave permanent marks. You know?
Right. Nothing involving minors or animals, obviously. No drugs. Strangulation, asphyxiation, any activity that is directly sexual, illegal, unsafe, or non-consensual. Again, we're working with legal boundaries here.
Yeah.
Also, no unclothed body worship, and no photos or recording during the session other than my own, and no non-consenting parties involved. So the very tail end of that is very much legal-based because, again, we don't want the police to raid us.
right, exactly. But I think no matter what, too, it is a different world than from that woman you were talking about, the 1980s in Florida. It is just such a common thing now. And I just think that for the most part, if you are staying within the legal boundaries, police officers have more important things to worry about, in a sense. No different, like, they're not going to, in a sense, you know, arrest an escort if they're not, you know, providing sexual services. They're just, in a sense, a date. Now, whatever they do, that's their thing to figure out. I'm just saying, you know.
Right, I mean, there's clubs that are devoted to this.
Well, you can grab a paper, a newspaper, and even in our town, you know, and find out escorts. So, obviously, it is legal within a certain framework. Now, yes, there's always people, I think, who push those limits. I mean, there's even certain strip clubs in town that are known for pushing those limits, and they do get raided quite often. But yeah, I think as long as you're within that legal boundaries of things, and yeah, you're fine, and you're just providing a service and entertainment just like anybody else.
When you have a friend who a friend of a friend who's looking at like opening kind of a club, like that. So what exactly are the legal, like, what do they officially say to the public what they are?
No, it's a dungeon. It's going to be a dungeon that they have. I believe they're in the process of creating it. Obviously, the current pandemic going on threw a little monkey wrench in their timetable, but they're still planning to move forward to it. And the way I understand it is that it is a BDSM social club, so you just become a member. I believe pro-doms or dominatrixes or anybody can rent out the dungeon rooms for scenarios. But again, it's very legal. They're very upfront in their rules. There's absolutely no sex on the premises. There is no, I think it's BYOB, but there's no alcohol served there. You can bring your own, but that's about it. There's security there, you know, that to make sure that nobody is doing something that is illegal or that nobody is harmed or, you know, causes a threat to any of the, you know, girls or men who are there. So, I mean, they're doing everything they can to make sure it's a safe environment for people to get the entertainment or, you know, the outlet that they want, but again, operating in a legal means, which again, in that case, and I see there's no problem with it. You know what I mean? I think it's just that people have it wrong in their head what a dominatrix is. They think it's purely like it's sex. You know, this is just the same thing with like BDSM. I mean, everybody just thinks like, oh, it's just sex. Well, yes, sex may be an out part of it between like a consenting group of adults, but it's not it is not the main thing, I would say. It's definitely like the main, even if you think about our relationship, people always just, like, guys will talk to me, oh, you're so lucky, you're two women get to have threesomes all the time. Well, no, it's not always like that, you know. It's there's more to it than that. But I think outside looking in, people who don't know, I think, have the wrong idea, which is, I guess, Winter, why you need to have, you know, these limits up front, so people don't have the wrong, and you'll be able to weed out people, I guess, who have the wrong idea.
For sure, and educating people on exactly what the process is like, so we can kind of weed out those assumptions.
Yeah, you don't get the first 5 minutes free, okay?
Well, even like with the Snapchat, you know, I mean, from, you know, you've had a couple of guys message you, oh, can you send me just one quick, you know, nude or quick video? And, you know, you pretty much said, well, maybe there'll be a premium one day, and that's about it. And 9 times out of 10, they're like, oh, okay. 9 times out of 10, they're just asking because they didn't know. And that's fine. That's cool.
And you know, there's been a couple of guys who are also like, oh, are you shy? Like,
it's like, yeah, I'm shy. That's why I'm doing this, asshole. Yeah.
But we're like, no, it's because we're you know, waiting for the other account. But I guess, do you guys want to read one last letter?
I think we have time for one quick one. Yeah, let's do it.
So, okay. Dear Mistress, I am a submissive male in my late 20s from Northwest England who greatly enjoys enacting strict auntie/naughty nephew scenarios with an appropriate lady. Because I've been fortunate enough to retain my boyish, youthful looks, and I'm only 5'4 in height, I can still pass for a teenage schoolboy, particularly when attired in school uniform.
I just pictured Lord Farquhar from Shrek. It just popped in my head.
In real life, I'm single, never married, no children, professionally employed, have my own house and car, and can travel or accommodate. I'm financially stable and can be marked by punishment without requiring explanation to anybody. I'm also prepared to travel through the UK to meet a lady such as I'm about to describe. I'm seeking a mature, 45 years plus, or one who can be made to look older, gray wig, spectacles, etc. Tall, 5'10", without heels. Powerful, dominant lady for role-playing with a difference. Having visited numerous school mistresses/aunties over the years, I now seek the greater thrill of venturing out attired as a schoolboy and escorted by my strict, overbearing aunt. Naturally, I will be attired in blazer, cap, shorts, etc., whilst my auntie will be immaculately attired in her prim and proper lady attire and heels.
Damn, I'm getting a hard on.
I'm picturing Mrs. Doubtfire for some reason.
Oh my god. It's even worse when I...
The presence of such a lady would lend credibility to my school attire and allow unlimited possibilities to scold and humiliate me in public. You know, how sad that would be acceptable, like, you know, scolding in public. Like, anyway.
You naughty boy.
Whether this makes me more of an exhibitionist than a masochist, I'm not sure, but it seems incredibly more exciting playing it for real to unsuspecting members of the public than secretly behind closed doors. Obviously, such a scenario could not be played out in a rough inner-city area, and I would expect to visit the leafy lanes of a quiet country village or early Sunday morning mass at a posh village church to enact such a fantasy. I am therefore contacting you to inquire if you know of such a lady. I should like to emphasize that if I didn't genuinely think I could convincingly appear as the character described and realistically carry the thing off, I would waste yours and anyone else's time in suggesting such a proposition.
Wow. Wow. That guy, he's got it. Like, he knows exactly what he wants,
what,
you know?
What auntie?
Yeah, what, him. No, what aunt turned him on? That's what I want to meet his fucking aunt. That's what I want. I want to know that lady, you know, who turned him on to this. I mean, you know, that there's a whole other chat right there about, you know, that kind of role play, I guess. But again, so specific, schoolboy. So, but I guess, like, I mean, he's okay. He did mention he's, you know, 5'4", mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
Now, granted, you know, I'm no giant or anything, but obviously, I'm just saying, like, there was this. Maybe this expectation is head to kind of play that up, that, like, you know, like, most women maybe are taller than him, and he finds that attractive, and he finds that, you know, them having that power, and, you know, kind of like how Natasha was saying, what kind of aunt, you know, was maybe overbearing on him growing up that it ended up actually turning him on as opposed to, you know, making him fearful. I mean, I know there's a ton of psychology behind that as well. Wow, that's a scenario. I think you could pull that off. But you're not 5'10 without heels.
I'm not 5'10. Yeah,
you're not a giant either.
You did play that one character in your school play with like the old lady in the glasses.
That's right. You did pull off that gray wig. I mean, I actually kind of fantasized about like, maybe we should keep that wig and like put those little wrinkles on you and get the cane out.
Yeah, with our very limited budget. Yeah, it was super convincing.
Yeah, no, I'm just joking. That would be no. But good for him, I guess. I mean, but can you imagine, like, you're walking in the mall in London, right? and you see this 5'4 chap wearing his best schoolboy attire with little knickers and everything. But you know he's an adult. 30s. Right, right. And then you see his auntie yelling at him, "You're a bad boy."
I'm going to pull your knickers down.
I mean, I've been to London. I mean, yeah. I mean, I saw some pretty interesting things and just walking the streets of London at night. But that would definitely be something that would take the cake, I think.
I feel like he would look like the schoolboy in Bruges.
Yes, yes, yes. Another great movie you guys should watch if you haven't seen that yet. But that's, again, it's a good, I guess, a specific, you know, type of fan. So he's got the whole, you know, familial family role play there, which is, of course, actually pretty big thing, you know, and a lot of people do. And then the schoolboy, which is funny because, you know, it's usually the, you think about the guy, think about the school, the naughty school girl.
Right.
That's where my mind always goes, you know, most days. But, you know, his is the opposite. And, like, for some reason, like, he keeps saying auntie, and I don't know why. Like, I'm having flashbacks to watching the Golden Girls with y'all, and I'm just picturing one of them, you know, being the bad auntie. It'd be Blanche. But so he doesn't know if he's an exhibitionist or a masochist.
Yeah.
So would you be able to enact a role like that in public?
I think that would take a few practicing sessions. Like,
oh, so I'd have to dress up as a schoolboy and yell at you in public. You'd be like, cut.
We'd have to build up to that one. Like, I imagine we
would. Imagine me in knickers.
but her putting you over her knee.
Oh, my God, in public with my knickers on? Yeah, no. Oh, my gosh. Or a Liegerhosen?
But, no.
Wait, what? Stop picturing
in
that.
England, not Germany.
Well, just in case I travel, I don't know.
But I'd imagine we'd start, you know, we will move on to the premium Snapchat, we'll do the camming, and then we'll move into virtual consultations and venture from there.
Yeah, yeah. So you see, you have a pretty good business plan going on.
If that's what you want to call it.
I mean, hey, you've got to have a vision, you know. I mean, you know, Tony Robinson always says that. You know, you got to know where you're going to take your business in the future. Well, that was definitely some interesting letters there. And again, like, anybody in the audience who's listening, if you happen to be, you know, a dominatrix or have delved into it, or you maybe have retained the service of one, at one point, we would totally love to talk to you live on our show and kind of get your point of view, because it's one thing obviously to look things up online and talk about it, but it's something totally different when you actually hear somebody's past experience that they had. And I would definitely love to talk to anybody, but this also goes if anybody has any topics that they would like to address here. We'd definitely love to talk about it. If you do happen to be on Winter's Snapchat and you're listening and you thinking to yourself, hey, I'd love for you guys to talk about whatever, you know, send her a message. We'll be happy to consider that and talk about it. And I do think at the end of this, wherever you find this, we will try to include links to Natasha's and Winter's Snapchats and other things. Because, again, Winter's everywhere online right now. So,
yeah, we want to be connected with you.
Yeah, stay social with us while being distant. But yeah, so we will definitely try to include all that. So, again, remember, you can find us on Anchor. Anchor.fm. You can find us on Spotify. We're on Apple. We're on Apple Podcasts now, guys. It's cool. We're on Google Podcasts. Excuse me, a few other ones out there that I don't even know about that I just kind of found by accident. So We're everywhere that you want to be. I do think at some point it will be cool. We'll do a live show one day with the webcam on. You know, maybe take some, see if we can get some audiences to kind of call us in and talk to us like that. That'd be really fun. So yeah, a lot of cool things in the future. And we will come back next week with some more topics. Probably still be in quarantine. So we have plenty to talk about and plenty of time to research things. Until then, we hope that all of you stay very safe, stay very healthy, and stay home. Until next time, I am Edward Maddox.
I'm Nighttime Natasha.
And I'm Winter Holloway.
Saying good night.